Welcome to I'm Kind of a Big Deal, a podcast about the unique lives of people with dwarfism. I'm your host, Christoph Zajac-Denek, and this is going to be the final episode of Season 1. It has been such a unique ride to produce and host this podcast. I've absolutely loved getting to talk to each of these guests and share their stories with you. To be honest, podcasting is more work and more involved than I could have imagined, and I just want to make the best content I can. I really love producing these shows for you, and so Season 2 is going to be back with more guests, more segments, and more impressive stories. So I hope you stay tuned for that. We will be starting up again in early 2021. Thank you so much for listening and for being a part of this community. I really appreciate it. So on this episode, I wrap up my conversation with John Michael Ogletree. We've heard about his surgeries and his incredible talent on the piano, but what about his social life? I was curious to know what his dating experience is like being 3'8" tall and a Christian. We all think that dating is hard these days, but being happy just in your own skin can be the most attractive thing. Please enjoy the final part of my conversation with John Michael Ogletree. And be sure to stick around because John Michael will be playing us out with another piece at the end of the episode. Man, such great conversations with you about your upbringing and challenges you've faced and how you've just shined in music. I've loved hearing the story. I know you're a guy who's based a lot in faith. I'd love to hear some more about that. I mean, that's probably something that came from your family, right?
It was definitely a good start to faith. You can't have somebody else believe for you. And so there's a lot of people that get burnt out that grow up in Christian homes that haven't really discovered anything themselves, and they just, you know, aren't interested in it, which has been a lot of people's stories in my circle. But I think dwarfism has just been a very awesome way for me to connect with my creator. I mean, I think really my surgery was the first point in my life. It's like, all right, well, I say I believe a lot of things. Like, here's my first chance to actually put them into practice. Because, you know, you said you were super young, you know, six. None of us really have a clue what's going on at six. But 16 is...
Right.
You know, you could argue 16-year-olds don't really know what's going on. But, you know, they do a little bit, more so. They know it's scary. And so it was a good chance for me to kind of put this familial bestowed faith to the test to see, you know, is this really for me? Is this part of my story, or is this real? Is this, what is this all about? And so it was kind of like my first journey exploring faith. And I mean, it was just immensely encouraging. I did not feel alone at all. And that's part of just the gospel message. Emmanuel literally means God with us. And so I felt God with me through that process and have felt him ever since.
And for a little person, I think that support is huge, and that
for sure
feeling of acceptance and that feeling of community is such a big thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very easy to feel alienated as a little person. And honestly, my musical gift is a little alienating too, because
sure,
that being so rare, even if I'm in a room full of awesome musicians and I hear a song, I can be like, hey, can you believe, if something just blew my mind, it's like in the back of my mind, all of this is happening and I can't even like put into words why it blew my mind.
It's for a specialized audience. You
right,
know?
It is. It's an audience of one. And so it's like, well, we're listening to the same thing, but we're clearly not on the same page. So like that can be very alienating as well. And, you know, that can be a very dangerous place, because I know, you know, plenty of people feel alienated for valid reasons that, you know, don't have physical disabilities. And, you know, it can lead you down a very dark path.
Yep.
If you don't find some type of community. Thankfully, in addition to just my faith, my friends, even though they don't understand me, because they're not me or a little person, none of my close friends are little people at all, but, you know, they love me.
Yeah.
And they care for me, and they'll walk through stuff with me. And that's huge for everybody, but especially for little people, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I also want to know and kind of make a transition, kind of a leap of a transition here to dating, because you're talking about isolation and, you know, when you're growing up, you have this faith and you have this community around you, and then it's still there once you get older. But once you get older, you kind of a natural progression, you know, you want to have companionship and in an adult way. How do you navigate that? What is your status? Are you single? Are you dating people? And how do you approach that, especially from a Christian standpoint?
For sure. Yeah. So to answer your question, I'm single and have been single for a long, long time. I guess the last girl I dated was back in college.
Wow.
Yeah, I like the South especially, marriage is just the end-all, be-all goal for young people.
Yeah.
And, you know, in high school, everybody dates. And, you know, I had a few girlfriends. But obviously, everybody that I went to school with was average height.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I went to college with was average height. Like, I never had the opportunity to date a little person as far as, you know, somebody that I was regularly seeing.
Would you date a little person? Would you be interested in dating a little person?
I would be interested in dating a little person.
Yeah.
There's just not a little person, like, in my close proximity, because I feel like I've dated enough average-size women to know that I just don't feel like I could see that progressing to marriage.
Mm.
As a Christian, Christians pretty much date to marry. I would say that's kind of ingrained in us. You know, obviously it would be fun to have a girlfriend and rather than just being single for some aspects of life. But for the most part, if I'm not interested in marrying a person, then I'm not going to date them. I am like one of the most practical people to a fault. I am so logical. I once heard it said, like, kids, like, you would never agree to have kids just based on logic.
Sure.
Okay, well, so, you know, my money's going to be drained the next 18 years of my life. Or, like, if you just put a pros and cons list. But
yeah.
But then I hear, you know, once you, like, look into their eyes and you become a dad, like,
yeah,
you just melt and, like, all that goes away and nobody cares about anything. But, like, that's not logical at all. That's, like, an emotional,
yeah,
different side of decision making. And so as an accountant, I'm crazy logical.
And relationships, they're a ton of sacrifice, right? And not sacrifices that you can plan for, because,
right,
if you connect with somebody and you have this chemistry, whatever that chemistry is, there might be something that you have on your quote unquote list that you would normally not date somebody because they made the list of things that you did not want in a partner.
Yeah, like non-negotiables, for sure.
Non-negotiables. If there is a chemistry there, and maybe it just takes work to get over.
Absolutely. It just kind of supersedes that.
Everything has a sacrifice, especially relationships. And there are these unforeseen sacrifices that just need to be made sometimes to make something work. And I've heard the argument where, you know, people have said relationships, there shouldn't be a sacrifice in having that. But today, I feel like relationships are so difficult that you have to have a mentality of being able to accept things of people and the
Absolutely.
Way that people are. Like, I can't imagine getting into a relationship with someone and having them not accept some of the messed up ways that I am, because it's just how it goes, you know? And
I think sacrifice is key. Yeah. I think that's crazy to say that that's not a part of relationships.
Right.
You know, and even beyond dating, I mean, just to love another person,
Right.
Just in a way, just to be a good human being. I mean, you've got to put preference aside because, I mean, we're all garbage. You know, if you can't, like, you know, you got to start with yourself and be like, well, gosh, I hope they can look at past that and me. But, and you recognize this too. I mean, dating somebody taller than you, like, if you want to kiss them, you're left with a few options, you know, like, you can sneak it, like, hey, can you bend down and let me tell you a secret?
Yeah.
And, like, set them up, or, like, climb up them and kiss them, or, like, maybe catch you sitting on the couch and you stand on the couch. Like, any way you slice it, it's going to be crazy awkward, at least for the guy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the guy, we make the moves. And so, you know, it might be different from an LP girl's standpoint. And I know plenty of little people who have made it work. Just like any other obstacle, they just plow past it and it's not a big deal.
I've thrown that all out the window. I have no shame anymore.
It's like, girl, get down here. Yeah.
I just like grab a hand and slowly pull it down. Yes.
Help me reach your face. Yeah.
Or I just do awkward things and hope that they find it funny. And it has worked. It has worked in the past.
I'm sure.
Say. Not always, but if I'm together with somebody who wants to be together with me, they're probably weird too. So
right.
It's a two-way street.
But, you know, so as I progressed through college and graduated and kind of like got into my routine, like I'm a super routine based person. Kind of, you said this in an earlier session, like I've been in the same city playing kind of the same gigs. Like I've got a system, and Birmingham, Alabama is, you know, it's a pretty big city. I think there's a million people in the greater metro area.
Sure.
But it's not giant,
right?
By any means. And so it's a small town, relatively speaking, and there are no musicians here.
Oh, wow.
That are like legit hardcore musicians because we are so close to Nashville.
Huh.
So, I mean, that might be an overstatement, but it, maybe it's better worded. If you are a legit musician, you get out of Birmingham. You go to Nashville. You go to Atlanta, you go to LA, you go to New York. And with Nashville being a 3-hour drive, it just makes sense to go there.
Sure.
Because the music scene in Birmingham is just weird. It hasn't arrived yet. And so I'm so well grounded here. I've been playing professionally for 17 years. I've got a very busy schedule juggling 2 full-time jobs, essentially. I've got a ton of friends that I'm trying to be intentional about spending time with. And then I have a huge family, and my entire family's here in Birmingham. And I've got 5 nieces, 5 nephews, and their lives are robust. And then I'm active in my church. And so, like, from a time standpoint, I feel like I would be the worst boyfriend ever. Talk about sacrifice. In addition to just sacrificing preferences, I would have to sacrifice like legit time or a job or other people. And I don't feel called to do that right now in my life. Like I'm super, super happy with at least this season of life. You know, life comes in seasons.
Right.
And, you know, that's not to say, I think we talked about this, you know, like the perfect girl just plops on my front door, then all right, well, let's get this show on the road and you're going to be my wife. And then you said, if that happens, that you need to be my neighbor. So
I did say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely not ruling anything out. At this point in my life, I'm very happy. And you kind of said yourself, like, it can be, as an adult, it can be tough feeling alone, like as a single person, like loneliness definitely has its moments. I mean, like, I don't want to like just sit and watch a movie by myself. Like, it'd be awesome to have a companion just to do stuff with. Like, even just from a friendship standpoint, just all the time. I mean, there's certainly perks and benefits, but, and you know, that might be in my near future. I don't know, but as an LP, it's just the available women. It's just such a weird, it's such a weird market. I mean, I know market's probably not the right word, but it's such a dating pool. It's if you're looking for somebody like in person, you know?
Right. Well, that's a thing too, is there's kind of a saying that somebody that would want to date me is not somebody who I would want to date.
Yeah.
To explain this, I guess, the person that is seeking the fetishized version of you or wanting to be with you because you're this rare creature, you know, isn't necessarily the person you are going for.
Yeah, I don't know who would want that, but maybe somebody.
I'm sure there are people out there that would want that for
them. I'm sure.
But I'm curious, do you think you structured your schedule and your life because of your lack of accessibility to, you know, a dating pool that would take you seriously? Like, you're so busy and you have a successful career and you're an extremely talented musician who is very forward about making great music. You have such a narrow, you know, space for a relationship, but also you haven't had a girlfriend since your college or high school.
Yeah, like 14 years.
Is it the chicken or the egg scenario? It's like you can make space for it, but then are you just going to be lonely? But if you don't make space for it, then you might not ever get it, and you'll be busy with all these things that you fill your life up with. And it's a tough balance.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, and it gets deep quick, because with this pandemic, it's really caused me to sit down and just reevaluate my schedule. I mean, it was bad. I keep everything in Microsoft Excel, which is like the worst calendar ever, but I love it. And I literally am like cramming like 8 things in one day.
Yeah.
To the extent where I'm like, you know, well, I don't want to not hang out with this person, even if it's for coffee for 30 minutes. I'll squeeze it between 2 gigs, and you know, if something comes up, then something comes up and we'll just reschedule. But I try at least to initiate a ton of stuff, and I'm out of town a lot as well. And so just trying to make the most of my time in town with people that I care about, it kind of turned into this monster of a schedule. And with COVID, that just came to a complete stop. And, you know, it kind of really did force me to think, like, God, am I, like, running from being home with no plans? Or, you know, is this a good thing? And I'm still kind of pondering that, because that's definitely a deep question. And, like, guys just, I feel like it's harder for us to really get deep. I feel like I should be, like, at a shrink's office with my feet kicked back on a couch talking about this, and I'm sure we might could get somewhere. But I don't know. That's a great question. Is that a chicken or an egg situation?
I know for me, I've done that in the past, and I know that I've done it out of loneliness. I just upped my practice on the drums by hours in a day, and I put myself on a schedule. So like, I wanted to do exercises and I wanted to do these things, and then I would ride my bike for an hour a day, and all of these solitary, scheduled and precise functions, and there wasn't any room for social spontaneity. Yeah. I'm a socially spontaneous person. I like doing that. If somebody called me up and they're like, let's go to the beach, I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. I'd drop my stuff. Let's go to the beach. I'm going to have a great time, you know, probably going to waste some time, probably going to spend some money, probably going to maybe get lost. I don't know. But all those things are, there were things that I protected myself from because I was lonely or not in a place that I wanted to be in. And so I knew that I did that myself. That's why I was curious.
Yeah, I think you're right on. And like that spontaneity, like I wish I was more spontaneous. I'm a very adventurous person. So I feel like I would be pretty much game for anything that didn't involve like the rough outdoors without Wi-Fi. I'm not a big camping. I mean, camping sounds terrible. And again, if it doesn't have Wi-Fi, I'm just probably not even interested, because that's indicative of other necessities that, like, if there's not a toilet, if there's not, like, at least a continental breakfast provided, like, I'm over it. I'm good.
If there's a new update of Excel, you need to be able to download it immediately.
Exactly. But in all seriousness, like, I went to Israel 2 years ago, and you really have to think about, you know, travel's a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, just companionship, you know, I find through just my family and a solid group of friends, but traveling with a disability is a whole different ballgame, you know.
It is.
It sucks being in a wheelchair when you don't have to be. And I feel like every time I go to Disney World, I have to be in a wheelchair because they won't allow my Razor scooter, or my Segway. Even the ADA agreed with Disney that is a unique environment that puts both the guest and the disabled person at a risk.
Wow.
If they're not in a wheelchair. So, I mean, Disney has some insane legal clout, obviously.
They're on it.
But, you know, just traveling abroad to Israel, like, there's like mountains and dirt roads and stuff, and I'm in this wheelchair and I've got a buddy of mine pushing me. That was about the most spontaneous thing I ever did. He was like, hey, do you want to go to Israel? And I was like, sure. And then, like, that was literally like a few weeks in advance. It was awesome, though. So I do wish I was more spontaneous, but it's hard to do that, you know, with a jam-packed schedule.
I mean, that is hugely spontaneous to go to Israel. It's like,
oh, yeah, it was. It was hugely spontaneous.
That's not like, oh, let's go get coffee at the last second today. let's go across the world.
But it's a good enough excuse that whether like any of my plans, hey, I can't get coffee because I'm going to Israel. So let's do it in November and then I can tell you all about it. Then it becomes a good thing. And like, so I was able to schedule everything pretty quickly.
So back to the dating thing.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself being in a long-term relationship with someone? Is that something that you want in your life or kids?
So I'll answer it with a few parts. You know, kids, I've got 5 nephews and 5 nieces, and obviously the uncle relationship is totally different than fatherhood,
right?
And there are, you know, if I can't carry my pedal extensions that weigh 7 or 8 pounds, you know, it's going to be difficult for me to carry even my newborn child, who will weigh 7 or 8 pounds, you know, and much less any older than that. And so there's clearly obstacles involved with parenting as a little person that I haven't really even thought about. But, you know, that's what makes LPA, Little People of America, so great, is there's resources.
Yeah.
And there's people who have done that and gone down those roads to help navigate those waters that are unknown to me.
I would argue with you too. I mean, I know that holding your own child is something that you definitely have to do and want to do as a parent, but I feel like there are ways to figure things. I mean, you're an ingenious guy. You would figure out a way to make something work in that scenario.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like I could, you know, tackle any obstacle that came my way, just as I have the other obstacles. As far as whether I see myself in a long-term relationship, I mean, I know I'm 35, so it's different than if you asked me if at 22.
Right.
Because at 22, there's at least, you know, not kind of a finality associated with it, but as a 35-year-old, if the answer is no, it kind of feels like I've given up. And I don't think I've given up.
Right.
I don't think that's my mentality. But I also am not putting forth really any effort to change my relational status.
Yeah, sure.
Either, just because, I mean, again, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense to change that. And, you know, a lot of people get into relationships to be happier. And, you know, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be happier. But again, it's just like almost stressful to just walk through the process of how that would actually happen. Because I'm not a dreamer. Even though I'm a musician, I'm just not a dreamer. Like, I don't see my name in lights. I don't have these, like, career aspirations for my music.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be on stage with Elton John or, like, and it, like, I just want something very simple and very realistic.
Yeah.
And I think that's my accounting type A personality kind of reeling me into reality.
Sure.
I don't just sit back and just daydream of me with this perfect wife and these awesome kids and, you know, I've figured it all out. I mean, that does sound amazing, but at the same time, realistically, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
But, and that's not a bad thing to me either.
No.
That's not like a sad thing for me. Now, if that changes, and again, I mean, COVID has taught us overnight, you know, something could hit the fan big time and then your situation changes.
Yeah.
You know, I could be in a different season of life where I'm like, let's get this show on the road. I'll be downloading Bumble or whatever it is people, you know, are finding. There's got to be a little people dating app. It's got to have some terrible name, too.
I believe there is. I think it's called Date a Little.
That's so bad. Date a Little.
I looked it up maybe months or a year ago or something like that. But yeah, I heard about it. I believe it's called Date a Little.
Date a Little. That's such a terrible name. That's worse than our little rocker band names.
Oh, we never even talked about that.
We didn't.
We have so...
We've got a lot to cover.
And we're pushing 4 hours on this conversation.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be editing for the next, like, 10 days.
I know. This is going to be crazy. But this is awesome, man.
I live a very weird life, though. I mean, I feel like my hand dabbles in a lot of different areas.
Yeah. But I think that's so cool because it's a rare existence, you know? My life is strange and, you know, yours and mine are similar in a lot of ways. But
yeah.
What works for me wouldn't work for you, and what works for you wouldn't work for me, even in our, like, very specialized dwarfisms.
Right.
I think that's so cool to have the glimpse of you and how you've made it work. And also, I wanted to say, too, not that you need my approval, because what is that worth? But I 100% support whether you decide to be in a long-term relationship or not, or have a series of one-year relationships or two-year relationships.
Sure.
I just think it's interesting to talk about because I know my history, I haven't dated so many people and I've only had a few long-term relationships, like two.
Yeah.
I just think that's a unique thing because I have so many average height friends who have dated now, you know, I'm 40. So they've been in maybe 10 relationships already or like four long relationships, or they're married, you know, and they've been together for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's interesting because that is not my experience whatsoever. I'm not successful on dating apps and in other scenarios. It hasn't worked.
Well, it might be because you haven't looked up Date a Little. So you need to,
you know,
hit that up. That could be the answer to all this. We could go on a Date a Little double date.
Oh boy. Okay.
Like a COVID virtual double date. That sounds terrible.
All right. If we get enough emails, that means that John Michael and I are going to go on a Date a Little double date, virtual COVID double date. And we'll see how it goes. And we'll live stream it. So we'll see how it goes.
That's amazing.
If we get responses to this, we are in trouble.
Yeah. If The Rock shares this, then we will do it. Only The Rock.
Okay. If The Rock and Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, Chelsea Handler's got to do it. Yeah.
And they have to both share it and comment the same comment.
While on the Ellen show together.
All right. It's out there, people. Make it happen.
Is. That's Make a it good happen. Deal.
All right, John Michael, you are amazing. I have one last question for you. Why do you think you are kind of a big deal?
Ooh, that's the hardest question you've asked all day. Although it's kind of like my multiple choice thing. I'm overthinking it.
Uh-oh.
But I love that. You know, I think I'm a big deal because I feel that normal people want to be different, and different people want to be normal. And so we're given a role in life that's a very unique one. And honestly, it's kind of an exciting one because people look to us. People look at me, even like in a leadership role, because there's expectations. You know, when I sit at a piano, people expect that it's not going to sound as good just because I'm smaller. And that actually, to me, gives me an advantage. So I think if I play well, it sounds even better because life is all about managing your expectations. And if people's expectations of me are low, then that's a good thing if I show up. And so I guess that's my answer to why I'm a big deal.
I love it. I think that's an excellent answer. I think it's so cool. I think you're so right too. When you have this prejudgment and then you prove people wrong, it sucks that that's what our existence has to be. But when you get to that, when you cross that threshold, it is a great feeling.
Absolutely.
John Michael, thank you so much for being on. I'm Kind of a Big Deal. You're awesome. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you. Appreciate your vulnerability. Someday I will be able to say vulnerability clearly. yeah, man, thank you so much.
Thank you, Christoph.
There it is, people. Get on the ads and the DMs for The Rock, Chelsea Handler, and Ellen. Let's see if we can make this happen. Wouldn't that be something? So I want to thank John Michael for being an amazing guest and sharing so much with us. I think it's so cool when you think you know someone and then you find out so much more about them that you just didn't know. But then you find out how much more amazing they really are. And don't forget to check out John Michael's channel on YouTube, JMO Piano. So thank you again for always tuning in to I'm Kind of a Big Deal. The end of season one, this has been so cool and an amazing ride. I would also like to mention that I'm Kind of a Big Deal now has a Patreon page. If you've been positively influenced by my show, or you know someone who could be, please share it with them. Word of mouth is huge. And if you feel so inclined to be more involved and support I'm Kind of a Big Deal, please visit my page on Patreon, patreon.com/bigdealpod. The link is also in the show notes. Big thank you in advance. If you want to send us a message, you can write us at abigdealpod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Big Deal Pod. Please review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us out. I'm playing the drum beats again on this episode, so I hope you dig them. We'll catch you next time and on season two. And don't forget, life is short. Have fun. And as promised, without further ado, here's another piece by John Michael.